Thank you, Markel, for the prayer, and thank you to the praise team for the wonderful music that's been put together. We had a slight audio lag issue this morning. We hope it's fixed now. It is one of the disadvantages, I guess, of live streaming. But one of the advantages, of course, also is that I was monitoring the live chat. I don't always get the chance to do that. Apparently, Dan looks like he's 12. So happy 12th birthday, Dan. Glad that you're looking or like how you're acting. Just kidding. We want to welcome you. I want to echo the welcome by the Borges family and also Dan earlier today. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. If you are joining us again from last week, the last couple of weeks, welcome back. It is our special Easter program, and we hope that you'll be blessed by our service today. Our green screen is here to stay. As you can tell, I've kind of moved myself a little bit to the side so that we can see the words behind us. This side was put together by our own Sarah. So Sarah, thank you for your talent and what you've done for this. Just another thing, I also was looking at the live chat. Apparently it's Nick's birthday today. We don't always get a chance to announce birthdays, but it is a special day. Nick did our children's story, so happy birthday, Nick. Now, our topic for today is hope. It's basically a follow-up from the topic of faith that was presented last week. If you've missed it, it's still on our YouTube channel. Search for One Turner Adventist Visual Experience. It's also on Facebook. Or go to our website. I'm going to put it up just very, very quickly. That's our website right there, oneturner.adventist.org.au. So the website is the place you want to go to. It's right there. And it has all the links that you need. Now, before we get into our sermon for today, I want to talk to the kids again. You know, you saw Pastor Dan in our church community segment today that we call Living His Love with that picture of the words that Hugo took and my wonderful face. Dan didn't comment about that. You know, maybe there should be an ongoing competition to catch Pastor Yoshi or Pastor Dan with, you know, our most dramatic expressions. Maybe not. All right. So, kids, once again, we have our word puzzle. I'm going to put that up on the screen right now. This is what it looks like. You should have seen it in the newsletter. There are 15 words that I'm going to be using repeatedly in the sermon, some more than others. So let's see if you can find those words in the puzzle here. It should be in a printable PDF format from the newsletter if you haven't already printed it. But like last week, in addition to finding the words in the puzzle, kids, if you want to follow along with the sermon, feel free to count how many times I use the words that have a star right next to them. Okay, so you see these words here. The words, you can take a photo right now, go to the newsletter. The words are cross, hope, Jesus, plan, prepared, reason, and salvation. So just 7 words this time. And in case, kids, you were wondering about last week's count, here they are just really, really quickly. Perseverance was mentioned 4 times, walk 5 times, substance 6 times, evidence 7 times, spirit 8 times, now 13 times, faith 42 times. So, of course, the topic itself was faith, and the word I really should have included was journey as well, and I used that word many times. So these were the words from last week, and the words from this week, here they are again: cross, hope, Jesus, plan, prepared, reason, and salvation. And of course, these words also form the focus of our message today. I appreciate the prayer that has already been lifted up. Thank you, Markel, but I would like to invite you to pray once again as we begin our message. So just bow your heads as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity to do Easter, to celebrate Easter a little bit differently. But we want to thank you, most importantly, for coming to this earth to die for us. And it is because of your death that we may live. So, Lord, as we go into our message for today, may you hide the messenger behind the message and behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and to you alone. I ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds as we open your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, church, our Easter program this year, like many churches, is of course very different. Just in case you were wondering, our Prime Minister did say that we are allowed to live stream from churches again, and some churches are doing that. However, the stipulation is that we ought to be doing it with a minimum essential team. One of the things that was communicated to us was that this minimum essential team would be, say, the pastor, one person on video, one person on audio, one musician, and one chorister, they call it, the government website calls it, or one song leader, and maybe one or two others. You know, due to the nature of how we do church at One Turn, we felt that we could do more, or rather have more involvement when we live stream this way. So until we get our full team back, this will be how we will be doing it. But here's the thing. Regardless of how we do Easter, regardless of how we do church, the message remains the same. The challenge, the most important thing, isn't necessarily how church is done. It's what emphasis and focus we put church on. You know, we have continually said this, the building is closed, but church certainly isn't. As we celebrate Easter, it's easy to lose focus on the big picture. Now, what do I mean? Let me play a short video clip. It's just a parody. It's a light-hearted approach to a reality that we face in this day and age as we celebrate Easter. Let's have a look.
I bet you $100 my boss can't tell you the real reason behind Easter.
Can I explain the origin of Easter? Yes, I can. It's pretty self-explanatory, really. You see, in the old days, they used to revere the rabbit for its fleet-footedness, which makes total sense. And they told the children this story that if they were good, that an enormous rabbit would come and deliver them a basket of eggs. Because in the old days, they also used to really revere eggs.
I'll tell you why I like Easter. The candy, totally. For some reason, all the best candy comes out around Easter time. You know what I'm talking about. Cadbury eggs and Peeps.
I love Easter. I am known for my egg people, like this one. This is actually puppy dog egg. This is Santa Claus egg. This is Abraham Lincoln egg. And this is dun, da, 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 Claire Danes egg.
And in order to keep track, the Easter Bunny would make a list and check it twice. And then he would hide the eggs because people back then really, really valued looking for things.
Yeah, to me, this day is going to be special because it represents the day when Jesus rose from the dead, thereby bringing life and hope to the entire world. I think that's probably enough, isn't it?
Peeps.
Yellow marshmallows over resurrection.
Now we laugh and perhaps even cringe at a skit like that. But the reality sometimes isn't too far from what we've just seen. You know, as a church, it's easy, say, to focus on the building. But the message of Easter, of the gospel, is infinitely bigger than that. You know, church, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible is one that is familiar to a number of us. It's John chapter 3 and verse 16. It is one of the most powerful and undoubtedly one of the most famous verses in the Bible. In fact, many of us watching this right now could probably recite it by heart. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, the essence of this verse is the sacrifice of Jesus. And the sacrifice of Jesus is fueled by his love for us. You know, the concept of love is a powerful one, so much so that Paul says in the book of Corinthians that the greatest of these is love. Pastor Dan will cover the topic of love next Sabbath, next Saturday, same time, 11 a.m., so make sure you tune in for that. By the way, in essence, while last week's, today's, and next week's sermons are kind of all standalone sermons, you can say that these three sermons of faith, hope, and love are somewhat of a, I guess, mini-series. And this verse that we've just read, John 3 and verse 16, have all three elements clearly expressed. There is faith, there is hope, and most importantly, there is love. You know, church, one of the most powerful quotes I've come across in recent times is this one here by Bruce L. Shelley in his book Church History in Plain Language. Bruce Shelley says this: "Christianity is the only major religion to have as its central event the humiliation of its God." Now think about that for just a moment. Bruce Shelley is saying Christianity is the only major religion to have at its central event the humiliation of its God. Now can you see how powerful that is? I mean, we talk about the basics of Christianity, the essence of Christianity, and it comes down to why we're celebrating Easter. It's the death and, most importantly, the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I'm going to come back to this idea of this topic of the resurrection in just a moment, but I want to focus on the death of Jesus. You know, you look at a verse like John 3:16 and a quote like Bruce Shelley. Yes, it's powerful. But can you also see how just absolutely bonkers, how absolutely crazy that is? It's like, what? Your God dying for you? Well, that's dumb. If he's God, he should be able to do this, that, and the other. It's almost like the last thing that you want is a God who died. That's why Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It is foolishness. And that's why to the larger world, Easter eggs are so much more fun. Now, I just want to be clear, by the way, I have nothing against the Easter bunny, or if you're eating Easter eggs right now. In fact, I love chocolate. Actually, the only problem I have with chocolate during this Easter is that apparently my wife had some at her work. It was donated, and she did not bring any home to share with me. Yes, I'm looking at you. She's like, what's wrong? I'm just giving her the, you know. By the way, Max, you can make up for it, for my shortcomings, by sharing some of that 16 kilogram chocolate egg with me. But on a serious note, it's true. It is foolishness to the world. But what is foolishness to the world is power to us. And right in the center of this power is not just the fact that Jesus died for us, but that he was raised again. And following directly from that, the fact that he has resurrected means that he's coming again to take us home. You see, the plan of salvation, as we call it, has three elements. There is the element of love, which Dan will talk about next week. The other element is that of faith, which we talked about last week. Faith is about journey. It's not about what happens here, but about the journey to something better. And on that note, this journey to something better is what gives us hope. So this idea of faith, love, and hope are literally all intertwined, and you can almost preach them in any order directly. That's what I meant to say. Faith, hope, love, faith, love, hope, love, faith, hope. They are all intertwined, you know. Listen to Jesus' own words in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, church, this is a powerful verse that has an incredible promise. The promise that Jesus will come again to take us home. That he will take us home, as we discovered last week, to something better. And in this climate that we're in, it's something incredible to look forward to. You know, every time I turn on the news now, it's just so sad. It's COVID-19, this, that, and the other. And it's not that I don't want to be educated. I do. In fact, I need to know. But like many, if not probably, actually I can quite safely say all of you watching this, I can't wait for this to be over. For those of us who are Christians, who believe in the sacrifice of his death, who experience the power of his resurrection, and who is longing for the hope of his coming, we can and should also say, I can't wait for all this to be over. You know, not just this lockdown that's happening right now, but all of this. You know, I'm talking about life here. This week, we have amongst our church family, people who have gone to sleep in Jesus. Daryl in WA, Daryl's mom, rather. I just want to be clear, Daryl's mom in WA, and Daryl had to fly there for the funeral. And of course, Boris, as Dan has mentioned. You know, for Boris, and many of us knew him, in this climate, the chance to celebrate their lives and to support the family in ways that we normally would is extremely limited. But the incredible thing about this thing called Christianity, this relationship, this walk with Jesus, is that we can have hope. We have hope. However, if you're like me, we don't always say it, at least not enough. In tragedies and circumstances, yes, we can find comfort in that hope. You know, for those of us who have been going to church for a little bit longer, there's a song, an old hymn that we might be familiar with, and you could probably finish the words to this song. We have this hope that, That's right. Burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. You know what? It's meant to be hope that burns within our hearts. But does it? Does it all the time? Why doesn't it? I wonder if it's because we don't have the right perspective of something better. And because this idea of something better is more theory in our heads than belief in our hearts, so this hope really doesn't burn. I mean, sure, heaven is nice, but let me get married first, let me get my first job, let me have my grandchildren, let me have my 2.5 children and all of that. And sometimes when we think of this hope of the coming of Jesus, we have this picture perhaps in our head, maybe subconsciously, that heaven is something like this. That we're going to be in heaven and we're going to be playing harps. But much better sounding. And we are going to do this forever. Now, I'm being facetious, of course. The truth of the matter is that's not heaven. That's not heaven. That's not the ultimate goal. This picture is pure Hollywood fiction. And this picture simply cannot give us hope. The truth of the matter, church, is this. The Bible says very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You know what Paul is saying here? As a follow-up to what Jesus himself has already said in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, regarding his promise to take us home, Paul is saying that home with Jesus is so much better than any one of you could ever imagine. So, whatever you think heaven is, the best thing that heaven can be, it's even better than that. You see, the plan of salvation, born out of love for us, for you and for me, the plan of salvation that requires us to practice faith, has in its very essence the hope of something so much better than you and I could ever imagine. You know, the topic of the hope of heaven is another sermon in and of itself, because at the core of the hope of heaven is Jesus himself. Because if we know Jesus, heaven has already begun here on earth. Now that's another sermon for another day. But I want to start to kind of wrap things up as we draw towards the final parts of the sermon. Firstly, with a story, and then a short video illustration about the hope of heaven, the bigness of God. I'll explain that in just a moment. This hope of heaven that is made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So, the story. Let me tell you the story, and then the video. This story may or may not be true. And I've told this story before. And whether it's true or not, I believe it will illustrate and wrap up this idea of the hope of heaven that is made possible by Jesus' sacrifice. Now, the story is told of a tribesman in the jungles who was stumbled upon by some missionaries. These people were isolated, and they had never seen outsiders before. And this picture, by the way, is just for illustrative purposes. I just Googled free to use images. It's not the actual tribe of the story. Anyway, Coming back to the story, these missionaries conversed or tried to with these tribesmen, and it turns out that these tribesmen were actually really friendly. They showed the missionaries their home, and they, you know, they looked at these people who were just so different, and they actually got along. And as the story goes, after some time, the missionaries offered to take one of the tribesmen to their hometown. This is the missionary's hometown. We'll just say it's a big city in the USA. So the tribal council met, they went to a vote, and they decided to search for the best and brightest young man that they could think of to represent the tribe. And so off they went. They rode in this little machine thing with wheels that made noise. The tribesman, he's going faster than he's ever been before, definitely faster than a horse. And he begins to get quite excited once he's used to the bumps. And a few hours later, just as he's thoroughly sore from the ride, they reach their destination, and he basically flips out when he sees this. Now he's just looking at this thing going, okay, I've seen this thing up in the sky before, but this is the first time he's seeing it up close. This thing is something else. After some convincing, he finally gets on, and he is almost dying when the plane starts to, you know, rumble down the runway. Now imagine when it just took off. He's white-knuckling it. He stares out the window, and in a matter of just minutes, he's above the clouds. And he's having the time of his life. They finally reach their destination. He gets on to one of these four-wheeled things again. And they're driving along a road. And very, very quickly, very, very soon, it turns into something like this. Now cars are zooming past him. He's all wide-eyed. This is exciting. And out in the distance, he sees... He's like... What are those? And he simply cannot believe his eyes when he drives into the city center, and they park and they start walking, and all he does is he's just like, what? This is like unnatural. What is going on? He's close to these massive structures. He's like, I want to get up there. Can I? Can I please? So they took him to a lift. And he sees this lift, the elevator. It opens, ding, and a man goes in, and the door closes. He kind of just looks and he goes, ding. What is that man doing inside that small box? What is going to happen to that man? Ding. A few seconds later, the door begins to reopen. He's like, man, I can't wait to see what has happened to this man. The door opens and an old lady walks out. He's like, whoa, I am not getting into that. I don't want to be turned into an old lady. Well, they finally convinced him. They said, look, it's okay. You see those windows? Yeah, it's okay. He goes up to the top floor of this building, and by the way, this lift sits on the outside, so it's bringing him up. He's having the time of his life. Pretty soon, it's all over, and now he has to go back, and he has to report all of this to the village and to his chief. How do you think that turned out? You know, he's trying to tell them about metal birds that can fly but don't flap their wings. He's talking about huts built on top of the other that's so high that no ladder could reach. It was taller than a tree or a mountain. Huts that go straight up. And I can't even... His fellow tribesmen are like, okay, let's say for the sake of argument, we believe you that you can build huts one on top of the other. But even if you could... How do you get to the top? Like, just ropes? And he's like, oh, that's easy. You just get on this little hut that dings, and it takes you to the top. Now, I told you that's not an actual story, but it very well could be. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." The hope of heaven, made possible by the death of Jesus, by his resurrection. The same death and resurrection that we are celebrating today is far greater than anything you and I could imagine. But the hope of heaven begins right here and right now. It begins with us walking with Jesus right now. It begins with us knowing what he wants for us. That in spite of everything that happens on this earth, the plan of salvation involves one thing: to help us to get ready for something better. And best of all, the reason for the plan of salvation is you. The reason for the plan of salvation is me. And that's why Jesus came to die for us, for you, and for me. Now, we come to the end of our special Easter message, and I want to play a video, a 5-minute video, and then I want to read one more verse, and then we'll close with our praise and worship team leading out in one final song. Let me tell you about this video. It's about 9 years old, actually. It was put together by a YouTube user whose name is Morn, M-O-R-N-1415. I'll credit him at the bottom. I've just added some slides and a powerful song by Chris Tomlin, written by Laura Story and Jesse Reeves. I just want to make sure we give credit where credit is due. But like I said, this video is about 9 years old, so some of the scientific facts need to be updated. But it doesn't detract from the message, from the core message that I'm about to say here. It talks about the bigness of God. That's right. How big is God? Of how incredible and vast this universe is. And how we can have hope because of how much this big God loves us. That even though we are just a tiny speck, Jesus still saw it fit to come down to die for you and to die for me. Have a watch. We'll come back with another Bible verse, and then we'll wrap up the sermon with our praise and worship team and a prayer.
Of height to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song. Containable, you place the stars.
The Bible doesn't just say that God loves. It does say that. But it also says that God is love. You know that video, even though you and I are clearly not the center of the universe, contrary to how some of us tend to behave sometimes, we think the world revolves around us. We're not the center of the universe. We're just minuscule. But I believe that we are at the center of his heart. As Dan mentioned earlier, and you have also read in our newsletter or seen on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, we're going to celebrate Easter by having communion. Now, why communion? Why do we do this in light of the message of hope that we've been talking about? Well, the answer is very, very simple. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 25, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Communion is Easter for all intents and purposes. It's about celebrating the proclamation of the hope of Jesus coming again to take us home. The closing song is called "Death Was Arrested." And as you sing along, as you listen to the words, may we find a hope of not just heaven waiting for us, but the hope of a new life in Christ, even right now.